songs they selected were part of my sermon. So it's a setup, guys. Just be ready. So the title of my message this morning is Getting to Know Him. One of the things that we've been hearing quite often in our house is how God is drawing us closer. A lot of the songs we sing are related to how he is drawing us closer. And we're singing songs like, I want to be closer to you and all these things, but now we need to learn how. Just to set some things up for you guys, I've been working on this word for some time now, and I was going one particular direction, and then the Holy Spirit just stopped me and gave me a warning, which was pretty intense for me and convicting for me, and I'm going to share that with you today. Let's see. One thing that's important is that you take today as a challenge for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. So we'll see how it goes. No matter what stage in your walk you're in, whether you've just received Christ, whether you've been in Christ for many, many years, whether you're titled, entitled, you know, whatever it is, this word is for you. All right? Majority of the scriptures that I'm going to be working through today are in the NASB, so that you'll have some context there. And for the sake of time, I will try not to, by the grace of God, dive in to every scripture. Okay? I like had, I think, about 30 of them that I sent Alex. And I was like, I'm really not going to get through all these, but just in case. So, just so you know. So you will need a pen and paper, because there will definitely be homework. And as we go through this, I'm hoping that you guys will jot down the things that you need to take away, the things that that stand out to you the most, the questions you might have as I go through this, the things that you want to go a little bit deeper on. Write those things down, because it's quite easy to forget them. Even when you go back and listen again, it's like you have to get to go back to listen again. Right? So if you have a pen and piece of paper, I welcome you to take them out and write and have your Bibles handy. I'm going to go through these scriptures rather quickly, but you will have them. And if you want, I can just send them out in the email list so you guys can have them later if you want to just focus, which I'm cool with. Okay? So let's pray. Let's get started. So Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your promises and your truth. Yes, Holy Spirit, I take the step back that you might have your way, that your voice will be heard over mine. Your way, Yahweh, always. So Father, thank you for what you're about to do and for what you've already done. Thank you for this setup. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen. So on May 5th, which was my switch day, the Holy Spirit gave me a word at 10:54 p.m. He said, ponder all I say to you this hour with great haste. And usually if he says something to me like with great haste, that means I got to do it like right away, which is why I had to divert a bit. The time has come and is now for my people to listen and learn of me than ever before. By knowing me, they will know what is not me and who. By learning my truth, love, word, solace, grace, peace, and joy, they will have comfort in the rough days ahead. The earth will quake, but they will remain rested. If they learn of my truth, they will know the lie. The time has come where many will seek me for help to understand these times, yet will not want to listen, learn, or hear the truth. My word brings healing, deliverance, and so much more. Untruth brings deception and pain. Watch as my word wipes them away from the hearts and minds of those who would tyrannize. And I had to break that. I had actually go look that one up, right? I understand tyranny to a bit, but I thought that was like, you know, in war times, you know, there's like this anger, this rageful thing. But I was like, you know, there's something to it. So I looked it up, and it actually means to oppress, persecute, and intimidate. So I'll read that from the beginning. He says, watch as my word wipes them away from the hearts and minds of those who would tyrannize, oppress, persecute, intimidate hope in my people. Selah. So we'll start from the beginning in that word, which is to know him. Just like how we get to know people, it's similar with God. He's just bigger, and he's always around.
Better.
Yes. He's bitter. He's better. Not better, better. As we get to know him, we'll learn his truth, his love, his word, his solace, his grace, his peace, and his joy, like he's saying above, because we'll be drawn to it. It'll happen. It'll manifest the more we get to know him. Let's see. So far, the other thing is, as we start to learn more about him, we start to learn more about ourselves. In my experience, as I started learning more about him, and I learn more pretty much every day, there are days I'm like, are you kidding me? But there's where he just brings something to my knowledge, another aspect of who he is. But through this process, I have learned more about myself. I've learned that I'm a teacher. I've learned that I can be stubborn, right? I've learned that I have a temper. I've learned so many things that I didn't quite know so much before. I've always had this knack of being in places and people kind of share things with me that they've never shared with other people before. And I'm just now understanding, literally just now understanding, that is another gift that God has given me to be able to minister to those and bring them to salvation and turn their eyes toward him. Because in each of those situations, that's where it leads. But I just never thought of that as a gift. I just thought it was just a thing, right? But he revealed it to me. So as we learn him, we'll learn more about ourselves. All right, here we go. One way to get to know him is through his word. Listen and read to the Bible. Read the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. Listen out for what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he speaks, how he instructs, how he provides, how he protects, how he punishes and chastises. I know I went through one of my paths through it. I was listening through David and how David did some crazy things and how God didn't just say, okay, David, you said you're sorry, you repented. It's cool, right? There was still a punishment that happened with that, right? And to hear David say, I'd rather have you punish me than those humans punish me. That said a lot to me, you know? Anyway, and I'm skipping parts so that I can get through this faster. How he encourages, how he loves, how he operates through people, even a donkey, like Balaam in Numbers chapter 22. How he moves, how he sets things up, how he takes things down like Dagon when the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant. I cracked up at that whole section because they kept putting the Ark in the same room as Dagon, or Dagon in the same room as the Ark, and God would like take it apart and like put it at the doorstep every time. It was just hilarious. Anyway, and then he sent plagues and stuff, but it was just funny. How he means what he says, like the time I was shocked. When Uzzah had touched the ark, it was slipping. The cow or whatever was like, teetering a bit. So all he was doing was just putting the thing up, so it wouldn't fall over, and dude died. God said, only the Levites are to touch that thing. He wasn't. He meant what he said, which is why I'm grateful that we have an advocate with the Father these days, and we can repent before we get killed.
Amen.
Just saying. How he transforms things, how he sees beyond what humans see, like when Moses was up on the mountain and he's given Moses instructions on what to do with Aaron and Aaron's kids, right? And Aaron is down the hill, right, down the mountain, like taking everybody's earrings off and building a calf to worship a calf while God is telling Moses, here's what you're going to do with Aaron. God saw beyond the fact that Aaron was about to build an idol, so folks could worship something other than him. That's how great our God is. He doesn't sweat the small stuff so much, although he's in the small thing. Right? He sees beyond it. So while you're listening or reading the Bible, he becomes so much more intriguing, and it did for me, because I started to hear how creative he is, and he's my creator. In Genesis chapter 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:27, it said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, regardless of what we're saying today. Just putting that out there. He's spirit. In John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and to those who worship him, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I broke that one down a bit because there's that spirit part, because I thought, are they the same spirit? You know? So I brought it down to the concordance, and it is. It's pneuma for both of those spirits that are there. And the definition there is to the wind or breath, which we have, which he has. And then I looked at the Message translation, which I never really go to the Message Bible or other translations without getting the root ones to find out what the course meaning is of something first, because the other translations kind of water things down a bit, and I really want to get at what it's really saying. In the Message, it says, and I thought you guys would get this better, it says, God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration to him. Which I thought was cool. And then he's spirit also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, where it says, Now he who prepared for us this very purpose is God, who gave us the spirit as a pledge. The other thing that was kind of cool in going through is like he's triune, but one. That was kind of deep. And still, like, there are times I'm trying to wrap my head around the Trinity and what that actually means. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? And are they really three people? But they're one, right? And that was just so exciting for me to read, and it just maybe, like, it just drew me in further to want to know, who is this God? Who is he really? You know? So it's scripturally. You've got Matthew 28, verse 19, where it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, triune. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 14 talks about the Word becoming flesh, where it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 14:15-17, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, which is the Spirit of truth. And you got John 14:16, which says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Triune. And there are so many other scriptures, not just these, so many others in the Bible that reflect these same things. Like when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, if he's telling me something more than once, I'm not getting it. Right? There's a reason. And there are a lot of times where these are throughout the Bible. So that means he's trying to really get us to know something. I pay attention to those things and I hear things over and over and over and over and over again. God is omni. I call him my omnis. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. So he's all powerful, all knowing, and he's everywhere all the time. All the time. So scriptures that sort of validate that, I found a few of them, a couple of them. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, where it says, O Lord God, behold, you yourself have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Amen. Absolutely nothing. We sang about that this morning. Nothing. Nothing. Amen. Psalm 139, 1 through 10. I love David, just saying. Anyway, I can't go there. I'm staying up. Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thought from far away. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even for this, there was a word on my tongue. Behold, Lord, you know it all. You have encircled me behind and in front and placed your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot comprehend it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take up wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. Everywhere, all the time. And it's throughout the Bible. And then the one thing that is really kind of cool for me and gives me hope, because I got some rough edges that God is still working out, just saying. And it's that nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. Nothing. Which makes him so not human, because we're so quick to say, I love you, but then it's like, I don't love them anymore because they did this. You know, kind of thing? Not him. Not him at all. So in Romans 8, verse 35 to 39, it says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or trouble or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We were regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes. Amen.
So just learning about him being him just kind of brings a little bit closer. Like, what are his attributes? You know, just diving into those, it's amazing. It just keeps drawing you. Another step to building relationship with him and we do with others is spending time. We've all gotten to a place where we've gotten pretty busy, you know. We're up in the morning, and then before we know it, we're ready to go to bed that night. And it's like, where did the day go? Where did it go? But we haven't spent time with him. We've got to get to a place where we can make him a priority in our everyday. In our everyday. We do that through worship, you know, and worship can be in song. It can be in the things that we do. So I go to work every day, and my job is my assignment. I'm assigned to that place, and I represent Christ by my working with excellence, by my leading my team and folks with the same type of leadership that Christ would have led with. So if something goes wrong, they won't say, well, you know, that Monique, you know, she's da-da-da-da, and she's da-da-da. I'm not representing him properly if I'm abusing my staff.
That's right.
Yeah. If I'm not submitted to my authority, my managers, my leadership, right? So that is my worship, one way that I worship him. I'm constantly alert, listening out for who might need something from him or what he would like me to do in a certain situation. That's my worship to him. I sing to him. I play and sing to him. Just me and him, my own personal worship space and time. You know, whenever I get the keys, if I'm on the keys at home, I'll just lock out. You know, it'd be just me and him. These guys would be in the living room. It'll just me and him on the keyboard. You know, it's just my worship time with him.
Yeah.
Let's see, where am I now? All right, so here's some scriptures that help you understand what happens and what his promises are when we seek him. So you don't get to the place, or we don't get to a place where we think, well, you know what, I sat there, I listened, I said some words, and now what? Right, now what? It feels awkward, it feels weird, but now what? I did it, check, right? Here's what he promises he'll do. In Jeremiah 29, verse 12 through 13, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, seeking him, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now, how amazing is that? The one who created everything in heaven and earth has promised to listen to you when you come and seek him with your whole heart. That's cool. That's amazing. Anyway, I don't want to digress. Let's see. Then he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. So he's right there when you do it. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. James chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, those are promises when we do this. So it's not a waste of time at all to spend the time. The other thing is, when we're in there in that time, listening to him, wherever we are, actually, listen to him. But in order to learn from him, we have to be teachable. I often share with folks that I am still learning. And one, I love learning. So it's a part of who I am. But we have to be teachable in order for him to teach us. He's not going to force us to do it. He wants us to choose to do it, right? There are things that we've grown up with, or traditions some of us have grown up with in church, where we've learned a certain way to do things, and that's the way it's always got to be. But God can do anything any way he wants to. There was a time where I was going through an amazing time with him, where he was doing these things that were blowing my natural mind. And he told me to move beyond that point. And I said, why? These are so cool. You know, saving people from suicide in front of my eyes. You know, delivering them from demonic oppression in front of my eyes. Healings in front of my eyes. And he said, move beyond this. Like, get over it. Just keep going. And he said, because he didn't want me to lock him into moving in just those ways. Because he's God and he can move however he chooses. However, if I'm to limit him to what I think he should be doing, how I think he should be doing it, I am limiting what he is going to do or thinking to do through me at that time. Do you see that? So we got to be teachable. That's critical, critical. Let's see. In Psalm 119, 105, the word says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've lived that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And I challenge you, in your quiet time, I call it quiet time because I spend quiet time with him. I'm talking to him all day long. Go figure, right? I talk to him a lot. But I have time, like before I go to bed usually, because I need to make sure my mind is in the right place, because there's stuff that happens in my dream time. And I need to be alert even in my sleep. So during that quiet time, I'm listening out for what he wants to say. You know, I'm talking to him, I'm bringing my petitions to him, but I'm also listening out for what he wants to say. Sometimes I'll hear through a scripture, and he'll give me instruction through a scripture. Or I'll ask him, today, I thought you answered this one question through this television show. I saw this happen. Is that what you really meant? And he'll confirm for me. So listening to the voice of God at times, it's not just hearing his voice. I hear him in my inner ear when it's just me. I hear him through children. Children can say some things. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I got it. I got it. I got that. Or I'll be walking past the television, I'll hear a sentence, and it'll be something that he had already told me that I needed to do. Did you understand? So I'm alert to hear his message and what he's trying to teach me or tell me pretty much everywhere in my everyday, right? I don't shoot the vessel, whatever it's coming from. It's the word that I need. Let's see. The other thing that's most important in building relationship with him is trusting him, submitting to him, and obeying him. Here's a few examples of some folks in the Bible that did this in different ways in their own. There's so many of them, but I just picked some of them. Hannah came to my mind. Hannah was being bullied by her husband's other wife because she couldn't have kids. A lot was being bullied by this woman. She trusted God enough when they went to the temple at day to cry out like crazy, to the point where the priest there, Eli, thought she was losing her mind. And she didn't care. She trusted God enough to seek him. And when she had the son, she gave him back to God. Pretty much literally gave him back. He was brought up and raised as a prophet. That's Samuel. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now imagine some angel coming up to you. You're a virgin saying, hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Imagine that. That'd be like, what? Are you kidding me? And she actually said, I've not known a man. How could this be? But she listened. She was teachable. She submitted. She obeyed. She went through it. And she said, be unto me as you have said, right? She did it. She's amazing. Then Elijah going to take down Jezebel's priest. That was funny. But anyway, so that was a whole other thing. When you read that story, try to do it without laughing. But I crack up because I realized that Elijah had a sense of humor too. Just when you read it, just we'll talk about it. And then Noah having to take all those instructions and make sure that they were accurate in building the ark. He couldn't just say, well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, build it my way. I think it should be a foot. I know you said like, you know, an inch, but I think a foot will be better. He had to build it to spec, and he did. And other folks are like, why are you building this ark, right? He kept going. And he went and didn't question, how am I going to get two animals of every kind? How am I going to do that? It worked. God did it. He trusted him to do it. And he trusted him throughout the whole process. And then we got Job, my dad's favorite chapter. Job, reading Job was kind of painful for me. Just saying. Because for someone to have to go through that, and he stayed committed. He didn't curse God, even though he went through tormentful things. Even though his friends were telling him, you know, you must have done something wrong for this to happen to you. And his wife telling him, just curse God and die. Just let it go. He stuck with him. That's outrageous to me, that I love. And then, of course, you got Peter getting out of the boat. You know, you see some spirit thing on the water. You know, of course, you know, the guys in the boat were like, oh, my gosh, what is this? They thought, you know, what is this happening? So Peter says, Lord, if this is you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come on. So Peter submitted, got out on top of the water, but then he kind of lost it a little bit because he started becoming logical like some of us, right? Where he's like, wait a minute, I'm on this water, it's windy, I could drown up here, oh my gosh. So he took his eyes briefly off of God during that time, right? He took them away from Christ, standing there walking toward him. And I love the fact that he didn't sink. He started to sink and cried out. He didn't wait till he had just gone all the way under. He started, and Jesus got him right away and put him back in the boat. That's hope for me, just saying. And of course, Jesus. I mean, he could be an example of all these things. But the part that hits me the most was when he cried out to God. He went, I think, three times to say, you know, take this cup from me if you can. Do I really have to do this? You know, dude, can we find another way? Please. But then he finally said, thy will be done. Amen. Right? He saw that it was bigger than him. Right? Just amazing examples. The other thing we need to do with building our relationship with God, and this is a big one, is not allowing mixture to creep in. In our day, in our times, there are so many opportunities to pick up things like New Age, thinking that they're Christ-like or God-like, or these books that are filled with divination and things because they have Jesus' name inside, or they'll say something about God inside, so it must be okay, it must be right, when it's actually witchcraft. You know, there's a lot of things that people are doing now, like some folks are burning sage to cleanse their house and things. That's not God. Amen. And it's to cleanse them with spiritual things. We have authority over those things. We don't have to burn anything. Yeah. Right? But it's so easy to bring that mixture in. I know someone who professes to be a Christian Buddhist Muslim. So you know we have really great conversations, right? So, but there's mixture that's there. And what they've actually done is they've taken pieces, parts of each of those faiths to define what their actual religion is. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine from India who's Krishna, and they've got like 1,500 gods, right? And Jesus is one of them. And I actually said, so why do you need all these when you have one-stop shop right there? Why do you need all these? Oh, it's just tradition. You know, it's their thing. But Jesus is in the mix. Go figure. But mixture, we got to avoid that. And the way we can avoid the mixture is by guarding our gates. And oftentimes you guys will hear me say, guard your gates, guard your gates. You got your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate, even our touch, even our smell. Those are gates that form things that can come through your mind and manifest in us. So how often have you listened to a song and it just doesn't get out of your head? You know? Which is why, even raising my kids, I had them listen to the words of the songs that they were singing, because they matter. And when we're singing them, we have creative power because the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us. So what we're singing, we're creating. There was a song, I was sharing this with Elena this morning, there was this Christian song that I was listening to about how God is so unbelievable, right? It's the chorus, you're unbelievable, right? And it's a great song, it's great vocals, great music, but I'm sitting there in my sleep hearing you're unbelievable, you're unbelievable, he's unbelievable, he's unbelievable, he's unbelievable. Do you get it? You know, so listening to the words of the songs is important. There's some songs, like even the music itself, sometimes I can feel darkness in music. Right? It's a gate. It's a gate. It's a gate. What we're watching on television, it's a gate. You know, there's so many opportunities where the enemy can try to slip in. Right? And then that slippage causes us to doubt, causes us to fear, and invites the enemy. Do you understand? So we got to guard our gates. Some scriptures there. Here is Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, where it says, "One who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." And I want to say, too, we might say things with our mouths, right? Which go against what God says or defile us, right? But I also submit to you that the words that we're speaking inside of our heads, inside of our minds, can also do the same thing.
Amen. That's right.
Oftentimes, I'll hear someone say something that they're thinking out loud, and I say, "Did you just say that about yourself? But what does God say about that? Do you really believe that?" Because remember, once our mind gets that thing, it starts to believe it. The more it keeps hearing those things, it starts to believe it. When there's an abused woman that's with an abuser, one of the key things they do is they isolate their victim. And they keep pouring in these things to make them doubt, to make them afraid, to make them submit completely to their control. And over time, that person who might have been very strong and confident and at ease with their lives become very paranoid and afraid and full of anxiety, not knowing whether to move to the left or the right because something tragic is going to happen. Thinking, well, I can't really, you know, talk to this person because they're going to think that there's something wrong with me. I can't dress like a normal human being because someone else is going to think there's something wrong with me. I can't watch or the clouds and how the clouds form because someone's going to think I'm crazy. Do you understand? Over time, we start to believe those words, especially when we're repeating them ourselves. It's powerful. It's a gate. It's a gate. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. The children, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Selah. An idol is anything that we put between God and us. It could be video games. It could be food. It could be our children. It could be children's sports. It could be unforgiveness. It could be anger. It could be rage. It could be contempt. I can't count how many people I have spoken with that have limited their walk and their time with God because they're identifying with bitterness and holding on to bitterness and contempt and rage and anger and are not willing to let it go. But they're wanting grace for themselves, which is, it's kind of like an oxymoron. Do you understand what I mean? So idols, no idols in the middle. Those things can also be idols. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 9. When you go out as an army against your enemies, you shall be on guard against every evil thing. So I say that to say, like, when I was talking earlier about the New Age and all the other things, I wound up years ago, Gabrielle was like maybe 2 years old, I was doing yoga to stretch and to exercise, you know, just to try to get in shape back then. The days were stressful, so I thought this is a good thing. The night after I started doing it, I had this outrageous dream. And in the dream, I was walking up some stairs, and to my left, there was a thing that was crouched down with its arms over its knees. And it was like part human, part lion, part monkey, but with human eyes. And it was watching me as I was walking up the stairs. And I was like, what is that? So I looked to my right, and there's a doorway. And there was a bed on the other side. I'm going to date myself. There was a TV tray sitting next to the bed. In the 70s, there were these old TV metal trays that they had a little dip and they came up, right?
Those were the best.
So there's a TV tray. So I walk inside this room. And when I get inside, I notice that on this TV tray, there are pictures of people and families and children. And all I kept hearing were these drum beats. And I heard, this is the Kali, let there be two. Everything else was like I was hearing this other language. And I look ahead, and there's another door. And there are some people on the other side that looked like Hawaiian, but Chinese. And they were all speaking in that language. So I woke up and I looked at Vlad and I said, what is Kali? He said, it's a dog. And I said, no, it starts with a K. So I wound up going to look it up. And this is when the internet just got started, dating myself again. I wound up looking it up. And I learned that this is a false god, also known as the Black Madonna. So I'm leaving we live in a condo at the time. I'm leaving the condo, and one of the folks, my neighbors, is walking toward me, and she was a witch. And I said, you know what? Let me talk to you for a second. I got a question for you, because I talk to pretty much anybody. So when she came over, I said, I had this strange dream. So I told her about the dream. And she said, Kali, she's a great goddess. So she opened this book that she had, she brought to me. She opened this book to show me all this stuff about this deity that I didn't know existed. This false god, I didn't know it existed. So I called my uncle, who's one of my spiritual mentors, and I said, Uncle Leo, something crazy happened. So I explained it to him, and he said, first of all, you walked in a door and opened a door that God didn't want you to open. Shut it and never go back in again. I said, okay, that's why I know this thing? Then he said, I asked him, why did I have this dream? Why did this happen? He said, God's teaching you something. Just listen and learn. So fast forward 20-something other years, I'm at my desk at my office, and I work with a lot of folks from India. And he's telling Monique, you should do yoga, this one guy, because he's like almost like a yogi kind of guy. And I said, you know, I can't do yoga, and here's why. So I explained it to him, and I told him about the dream. He goes, hold on a second. He pulls out his phone and shows me a picture of the thing that I saw at the top of the stairs. And then he explained to me that it's Lord Vishnu, and Kali's a part of Vishnu, and all this other thing, which is a mimic. It's triune. I didn't know any of this, right? But God gave me the dream for a purpose. And ever since having that dream, when folks are like, we should do yoga, I've had people say, we should do Christian yoga. So there's it's so easy to get caught because we think it's just stretching. It's just a stretch. It's just a stretch. There's stretching and then there's that. Two different things. Be alert. Be alert. Guard against every evil thing. Because the enemy tries to get through any crack he can possibly get through. No room for him. No room for him. Okay, I'll skip down because I got a lot of scriptures on those. So respect and revere him. This is really important. The Holy Spirit said to me on the 15th, which was yesterday, Tuesday morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, he said, salt and pepper are handled greatly with care and focus. And I saw like hands like cooking and flavoring the food with salt and pepper. And he said, so it is with getting to know me. When mishandled, it can leave a bad taste in your mouth and a bad impression. I was like, that's deep, Lord. How am I supposed to do that? So I thought, well, salt kind of makes sense because, you know, you don't want to put too much salt in it because it ruins the food, right? If you don't put enough salt in it, it's just bland, right? If you put too much pepper in it, it burns your mouth or it just overwhelms the food, right? So he's saying learning about him and having a relationship with him, it's similar to how we handle that with care and with caution. We respect the power of salt and the power of pepper. So I decided to just check in a little further. So I was like, okay, salt I get, it can kill you if you use too much of it. But what about pepper? Pepper's a good thing. You know, it takes turmeric, it makes it work in your body. How can pepper be a bad thing? So I looked it up. So I went to rxlist.com where it talks about supplements. And it says, black pepper is likely safe when taken by mouth in amounts commonly found in foods. Black pepper is possibly safe when taken by mouth appropriately as medicine and when the oil is applied to skin. Black pepper oil typically does not cause side effects. Black pepper might have a burning aftertaste. Taking large amounts of black pepper by mouth, which can accidentally get into the lungs, has been reported to cause death, especially in children. I never knew that. We have to respect his power. We have to respect him. So, how do we typically mishandle, disrespect our relationship with God? Here's a few ways. And these were convicting for me as I was going through this. So don't feel bad because you're not alone as I read through this. We take him for granted. We walk in unforgiveness and expect him to forgive us. We walk away from him or become bitter when he doesn't move when we want him to and how. We neglect spending time with him, worshiping and prayer and reading and studying the word. We ignore his promptings and his voice. Don't eat the Lay's potato chips. But you can only just eat one, right? Don't eat the Lay's potato chips, right? Just saying. Just putting that out there. I will skip what I was going to say. We don't guard our gates, our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our heart. We disobey and refuse to trust him. We fear man more than him. We open spiritual doors that should stay shut by mixing things. And our call to action, we'll stop there. For each of us, we should ponder in our hearts all that he said this hour with haste, as he said. Let us listen and learn and build relationship with him daily so that by knowing him, we'll know what is not him and who is not him. And by this, we will learn his truth, love, word, solace, grace, peace, and joy, and we'll have comfort through the rough days ahead. The earth will quake, but we'll remain rested. Amen. We will learn of his truth so that we will know the lie. Homework this week, ready? You know I had to do it, right? Homework this week. See, my alarm's going off. See, I'm close. I did it. Homework this week. get to know him. Write down the things that you discover about him from the Word to keep them in front of your eyes when you need them. I have what I call my memory stone books where I can go back to them. You know, I call them temporary moments of insanity. Did God really say? When I have my journals, when I have those books, I can go back and say, yep, he said this and it happened. He said this and it happened. He said this and it happened.
Yep.
Right? Amen. Keep those. Invite him into your everyday and acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge it. Even if you're in your shower, realize he's there. You're not there alone. Sometimes I actually have tea. And he's there with me when I'm having tea. Just saying. Yep. And I just chat. Yep, I do. Seek him. Talk with him daily and listen for his voice. Worship, pray, and remain in the Word. Respect him. Guard our gates. That's critical, especially now. Especially now. And dare I say that our children will be affected by us not guarding our gates. Selah. Let's see. Practice forgiveness. Ask God if there's anyone that you've not forgiven and do it.
Amen.
Practice the gift of repentance. I call it a gift because it really, it's a warfare.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. And repentance isn't, I'm sorry. It's turning your back from that thing and ask him, because sometimes it's hard not to go back to that thing.
Yeah.
You know, the dogs go back to their vomit sometimes, right? But we can avoid going back to the vomit, to that thing, by asking for his help to get us through it, and he will do it.
Absolutely.
Tried and proven. Trust and submit and obey to him. Obey him.
Yes.
It's a trip. I've got a whole nother story about that, but I can't tell you now. And then note the changes that you find this week. Just write them down. The new things that you experience or the things that you hear that you didn't recognize before. Notice if there's any change when you're in your prayer time or when you're in your alone time. I have an hour drive pretty much to work twice a week. During that time, I'm listening. I'm listening. Or I'm talking to him. Or I'm listening to the Bible on my way. Just listen now. And that's another time that I get to have with him. When you're in the shower, sing to him.
Yeah.
Sing to him. He'll be happy to hear you. Mm-hmm. You know? And write down what you're feeling. Write down what you're experiencing. And then go back to it. Go back to it. And I would love to hear your testimonies. I truly believe that God brought this word for this time, for this day and age, for a reason. And these two singing these songs today for a reason.
Yeah.
Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. Stand up. We'll be out before noon.
You're amazing.
I did it. Thank you. This was so hard. So hard. There's so much more I want to tell you guys. Oh. So, Father, we thank you for this word today. I thank you that your word is a seed that is planted today in fertile soil, that today is our turnaround day, our breakthrough day. Lord, we repent for mishandling our relationship with you. We repent for taking you for granted. We repent for witchcraft. We repent for divination. We repent for turning away because we're mad at you. We repent for expecting you to do what we want, when we want, and how we want it. We repent for treating you like a genie in a bottle.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we thank you for breathing upon us today so that we will walk forward in life, that we'll be able to share the goodness of who you are, really who you are, because we know you.
Yes.
And we're getting to know you more and more every day. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do this every day, even better than the day before. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love that's never changing. Thank you for your power, for always being with us, for never quitting on us. No matter how messed up we think we are, you haven't left us. Thank you for that. Thank you for triumph and victory over every situation. Lord, as we depart from this house this day, and those that are even home, I decree and declare over their lives that the enemy shall not pluck this word out in the name of Jesus. I bind every distraction that would try to keep us or draw us away from the things of God, from what you desire that we do and how we do it and when and for whom. I thank you, Father, for the testimonies. I thank you for the joy that it is to be called your child. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in us too, Father. So, once again, to the God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, I thank you that you have multiplied this word, not just with those here on the phone, but throughout the land. I thank you that the heavenlies are on notice and the enemy is on notice. Thank you for the salvations and victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Enjoy. Thank you, YouTube and Facebook. Have a great week. Bye-bye. If anyone needs prayer, if anyone is struggling with their growth with God, feel free to come up and we'll pray for you.